myself in the mirror, I guess I'm cool. And no sappy thoughts in my head. I'm feeling like I'm Peter Pan. Mind is tight from the birds. Happy to see how far I've come to the same place. It began in my dreams, imagination. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, and of course NBC's Football in America, joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford Radio Row, Super Bowl 48. Mike, the first place I want to start is your take on the Browns and on hiring Mike Pettine as their new head coach, on trying to put together now a new coaching, virtually new coaching staff.
Well, I was surprised because on Wednesday a couple of weeks ago, owner Jimmy Haslam sends out the letter to all fans saying, please be patient, we're waiting for candidates, etc. So the interview of Mike Pettine initially, I thought, was just a way of engaging in due diligence, turning over stones, biding your time while you're waiting for an opportunity to interview or re-interview, as the case may be, some of the guys who were still coaching. And then here comes a second interview of Mike Pettine, and then the buzz builds, and I truly believe they saw that Pettine was the best guy of the guys they interviewed, and now you got to go forward, and that offensive coordinator position is going to be so critical, because whoever the quarterback is, the offensive coordinator's got to get the most out of him. And for the Browns to be as successful as I think Jimmy Haslam wants them to be, they've got to get better quarterback play. And I'm curious to see what Jimmy Haslam does in the future. He had a reputation coming out of Pittsburgh as a minority owner there,
right,
of being a guy who would be like the Rooneys and being very patient. Well, the patience had limits with Rob Chudzinski, and now the question is, how far is he away from maybe pressing the reset button and getting a new front office? And I know that that's unlikely, but we would have said it's highly unlikely they'd fire Chudzinski after 1 year. And it could be that Haslam's not going to be nearly as patient as we thought he was going to be.
So knowing what you do of Mike Pettine, where do you sort of see the philosophical direction going? Just your sense of, after, again, putting it in the hands of an offensive guy in Rob Chudzinski, bringing in Norv Turner, all that offensive experience, and now making such a radical turn in a different direction. What do you see in Pettine that he can bring to the table that Chud didn't?
Well, they're looking for, and they're attracted to, a certain degree of toughness, aggression, hard nose, that 46 attacking defense. How do you survive in the division you're in? And that's the key. You have to master your division. If you can master your division and win your division, you're ahead of the game. I think one of the reasons the Patriots continue to hang around the fringes of another Super Bowl win is because they've mastered the AFC East. They don't have much competition in the AFC East. But they had more from the Bills this year than maybe they expected, because the Bills' defense became significantly better with the arrival of Pettine as the defensive coordinator. So that's what they're looking for on that side of the ball. Offensively, though, I think they want to be a team that, well, they got to score more points. Mm-hmm. But it's quarterback play is going to be so critical. Getting better quarterback play. I think the other weapons are in place. You've got to get the quarterback play. And so that offensive coordinator hire is going to be so critical to whether or not the next quarterback, whoever it is, succeeds.
And speaking of that, Kyle Shanahan's name is up as someone that the Browns want to talk to. There might be another candidate or so in the mix, but a lot of attention on Kyle Shanahan and a lot of controversy that comes with him from his last experience with his dad, Mike Shanahan, in Washington. Your sense of Kyle's ability to bring the Browns what they desperately need is someone who can make an instant impact on that offense.
Well, whether or not Kyle Shanahan is successful is going to depend on who the quarterback is, like any situation. But a couple of years ago, Rex Grossman, who has found a spot with Kyle Shanahan pretty much wherever he goes, and look for Rex Grossman to be signed by the Browns if Shanahan gets the job, because he can help teach the Shanahan system. Grossman said in 2011 that Kyle wants the offense to be run exactly the way he wants it to be run. Step by step, the hitches you make as you go through your progressions, everything, he wants it done a certain way. So you need your quarterback to be somebody who is willing to do that and who can do that. Otherwise, there's going to be a clash between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback. So if the Browns are thinking at all about Johnny Manziel, I don't think Johnny Manziel is the kind of guy that you can say, you do this the exact same way every way. Manziel's got a little more freedom in,
yeah,
in what makes him good. So, and I think that's one of the reasons why RG3 and Kyle Shanahan maybe didn't click, because RG3 is going to want to do things a certain way. Shanahan wants things done his way. And the next thing you know, you have a potential conflict. So unless you have in mind exactly who your quarterback is going to be, and unless you're confident that that quarterback is going to do things the way Shanahan wants, that may not be an ideal fit. It's got to be a quarterback who will run that offense the way Kyle Shanahan thinks it should be run.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and, of course, NBC Sports joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from Midtown Manhattan, Radio Row for Super Bowl 48. Mike, as you look at all that has transpired in Cleveland, the hope that preceded last season, and then it ends in 4-12, and a big second half collapse after some promise in November, the quarterback situation being what it is, a great unknown, and now another new coach and mostly new coaching staff coming into place. Is it salvageable, fixable in the short amount of time that really needs to be the case because of what we just said, that if you don't get this right now, after the coaching staff, then the focus is next on the front office.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the problem. Andy Reid's success this year in Kansas City is going to get a lot of guys fired, and I think it already has gotten some guys fired because owners look at that and say, I want that here. I want a coach and a quarterback who's going to turn me around from a 4-12 team to a 12-4 team. I've got more Pro Bowlers than I have wins, and that's what the Chiefs had. Now, they had 6 Pro Bowlers and 2 wins. The Browns have 5 Pro Bowlers and 4 wins, but still, the talent's there. The draft picks are there. The cap space is there. The challenge is going to be getting the coach and the quarterback to make this team competitive. And you're right. Look, the 5-year plan, long gone. The 3-year plan, long gone. You can get fired after 1 year as a head coach. And that's the thing. When the possibility came up, the Browns got a lot of criticism because all this never happens. It does happen. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. It's happened multiple times, more than multiple times in the past 15, 20 years. So owners are more and more impatient, and that's, I think that's what drives these guys crazy, because you make your billions and you're determined to be successful or not based upon money in other lines of work. You're always going to make money in the NFL. You have to try to not make money, and even then you're still going to make money in the NFL. The other indicator of success is the result of the ultimate zero-sum game, because for every winner there's a loser, for every good team there's a bad team. There are going to be bad teams owned by very rich, successful, powerful men, and they don't like to be owners of bad teams. They don't like to lose competitions with the other rich, successful, powerful men. That's what makes guys like Jimmy Haslam, who maybe have been patient their entire lives, very impatient when they get in this setting, which is playing out on a national stage.
Right,
and
right.
You get labeled like a Stephen Ross. You get labeled as a buffoon. You got $5 billion, but people think you're a buffoon because you can't run a successful NFL program. I think Jimmy Haslam realizes that he's going to get labeled a way he doesn't want to get labeled if this team continues to struggle.
When you see the pieces that are there, there were 6 guys in the Pro Bowl representing the Browns. A couple of them got in the end zone, Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron.
Oh, so there were 6. I thought there were 5. Well, TJ Ward
made it as an alternate. So, yes, 6 guys. And then all pro selection. You know the list. Given that, but looking at Brian Hoyer now and what he showed in that flash, do you think that there is more hope there than one might think, especially at that quarterback spot, regardless of what happens with the quarterback in the draft, that you might not have to be so worried about pushing that rookie onto the field?
Yeah, but if you use a top 5 pick on a quarterback, you better be ready to use him. You know, and maybe Hoyer helps teach him. Maybe Hoyer plays if he's injured. But in this day and age, you better be able to use right away, and you better be willing to use right away that quarterback if you're going to make that investment. And I think the Browns will. They're going to make an investment high in the draft for a quarterback.
Yeah. Mike, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on Radio Row, Super Bowl 48 in Midtown Manhattan. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNO.